In this episode, we take an attempt at answering the question, what's the difference between acceptance and agreement? Jump in and find out more. You are listening to the Fifth Hammer Growth Podcast, where we help you find harmony in imperfection as you journey towards success in life and in business. So Dave, you brought this topic to us, I don't know, a week or two ago, and it's become really relevant in several conversations we've had this week and just been on top of my mind. So I want to go a little deeper on it. And it's the concept and the conversation around the difference between acceptance and agreement.
Yeah.
Right. So take us kind of where this came from and let's just dive in.
Yeah, I think so. It came out of an executive coaching session. I've got a coach. Her name's Connie Miller. CredibleVantage.com, I think is their website. And we can drop it in the show notes if we want. But it just stemmed from me trying to figure out. I get into an organization and I think I do pretty good with my teams. Get pretty good feedback from my teams, give them space to operate, create, you know. But for some reason, I look up the chain and I get bullheaded and I dig my heels in and I target somebody to try and like stake my claim. And it's sort of
mark
like
your territory.
Mark my territory, basically. Yeah. Something. Yeah. I mean, I'm probably making it sound more dramatic than what it is, but it boils down to control. I've got control issues. I like to have control. And as part of that control, there's a lot of trying to gain that control. There's a lot of disagreements that happen. There's a lot of like emotions and arguments, and it's all stemmed from me trying to get at least through these coaching sessions, I found just get agreement on my way of doing it. Mm. And that's not, short term, like on a small level, I'm just thinking of right now, how do I stay employed in a project through the duration versus throwing my hands up because I don't have control. And one of those ways is understanding the difference between agreement and acceptance. Or there are times when you don't have to agree with people. You can just accept that that is what it is, that their way might be true as well, that their way might win as well.
Yeah.
And there's more than one way of doing things.
Right.
And it's honestly, in just a couple of months that I've been on this project, it's really helped me get through some conversations that would have caused me, a lot of frustration and arguments and side conversations and campaigning to get my way. And so that's, that's just kind of where it started from, is just this control trigger that I have.
Yeah. And as I've reflected on this and we've seen it play out a little bit more and looked at past experience, I think a lot of business, a lot of the business world, a lot of the nonprofit world, a lot of life is around this idea of like lead by consensus, lead by committee, lead by majority. And that's kind of trying to seek agreement, right? Everyone agrees. Everyone has the same opinion, the same belief, is on the same page, like, right? Whereas a lot of times there was a lot of disagreement that we had at Microbe and Cellcore, that the ownership group had or the executive team had. But at some point, someone made the final decision and everyone had to accept that.
Right.
And when they didn't, because there was an agreement and they didn't accept, that's when silos develop. That's when back channeling happens. Yes. That's when
conflict
culture occurs. Toxicity is created.
Yes.
Right. And I think this plays interesting with like the dynamic we've had of talking about two opposing beliefs.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Right?
And how they can still exist together. And it's because you're not trying to agree.
Yeah.
You're just accepting either a new mutual way or just one of the ways because it's a path forward.
Well, and that true acceptance is key, because to your point, if you don't, you end up, and this is what I mean by campaigning around that person, developing silos. Go ahead. You were about to say
something. Well, and I think it's important to kind of step back a little bit and say, why would somebody not agree or accept? right? Because you're absolutely right. Two truths can exist in the same sphere. And I think the crazy thing about that is I was listening to a podcast this last week, and it talked about a scientist from the University of Utah in like the 1920s. And his name was Joseph Merrill. And his whole thing was looking for truth and identifying truth. And he could find truth in the science realm. He could try and find truth in religion. He could find truth in observations. He could find truth in a lot of different areas. And when he identified that two truths existed that contradicted each other, he didn't discount those truths. What he did is, and I was trying to find the quote for you guys. What he did was he tried to identify how do these two truths harmonize? And he actually used the word harmony.
No way.
Right? Which was freaking amazing to us. And it's interesting because what happens with people in their minds, it goes back to the stories we create and the assumptions we make, right? If two things are true that are opposing, how can they be true? Mm. Well, we take it based on, well, these are my assumptions about those truths.
Yeah.
So the truth is truth. Like when it comes down to truth, truth is proven, it's observed, it's evidence, it's truth, right? If two truths oppose each other, what we need to do is step back and look at what assumptions are we making about those two truths. And when we don't accept something, it's not because because they're wrong or those aren't truth or they're not right. It's because of the assumptions we're making ourselves about those situations. So, and I'll send it over to you guys because it was really, really cool.
I'd love to watch that. I think for me, it comes down to a lot around intention. And, you know, I've showed up, and that's why I brought up the control trigger, because I show up in a lot of scenarios in my past with ego and control and wanting it to be my way, not even what's best for the organization.
Right.
It's what I think is best because I want to control this. And what's odd about that is I don't know that I was actively thinking that, but that's where it was coming from, which causes me to create stories and poke holes and make assumptions that would shoot down any other way of doing it. Mm-hmm. And the acceptance, like I'll actually say to myself, accept, not agree, and then remind myself to show up in a way that's best for the organization, which sort of clears all that out and allows me to have that pure intention and follow through with that. But yeah.
The challenge is not everybody has that mindset.
Right.
Right. So what do you do when you're in an environment, a work environment or a family environment or whatever environment, and two truths or a decision is made and
that you don't agree with
personally? I'm not even talking about the other dude not agreeing. Right. Because you can't control. Here's the things the only thing you can control is yourself. You can control how you react, what you believe, and the assumptions you make, right? You can't control, like if I tell you something, I cannot control how you hear what I've said.
Right.
Right. And I think that's something that has come up in the conversations that we've had is there's this whole he said, she said chain going on. And the only way to cut that down is to acknowledge, look, I don't care what you said. You can't control the way they heard it. Right. Mm-hmm. So as soon as you say that, they're like, oh yeah, I understand. Because what we heard from him was not what you said. And so that back channeling occurs because the acceptance wasn't in place.
Well, I think in a business setting too, having some mechanisms for final decision making, right? And typically that's a CEO, right? Or that's the integrator, that's the tiebreaker, right? That is the final say, that can make the call and move forward.
Chain of command.
Chain of command helps with that, right? RACI is a really awesome framework too. A responsible, accountable, consulted, and informed, with the accountable party really being like the decision-making party, right? Because ultimately, yes, you want to hear disagreement. Disagreement can be a good thing and you want to hear opinions, but you still need someone to make the final decision. And then you still need the rest to accept and support. And I think that's what's hard in a lot of these settings, strategic planning or initiatives or decision-making is even though someone still disagrees, they can then oftentimes not accept and support.
Right.
And we approach those conversations like we're trying to get mutual agreement rather than just we're going to make a decision and move forward.
Well, and that's the advice I've been given is it comes down to whose decision is it ultimately?
Yeah.
And so in an organization, in a business, it's a little bit more clear cut. You know, if as long as I can accept that that's not my decision.
Hopefully. If the leader is strong enough to make a decision.
Yeah, sure. But right. But even then, you kind of have to accept if they're not.
Right.
And let it fall. So we had some scenarios over a Black Friday Cyber Monday sale where I'm trying to identify gaps and I'm not getting out ahead of mistakes because I believe that mistakes need to happen.
Totally agree.
And I don't think you can cover all the gaps up front. So you cover what you can and then you just let things fall where they fall and just accept that that's going to happen. And then you can go back and cover it.
So consider that because that's almost the exact same situation that we went through, right? Is we're working with a company that an individual in the company had this thought that, oh, we need to be doing all of this. Right. And I'm like, absolutely. I totally agree with you. But with the limited resources available to us, we set a plan and we're executing on our plan. Is it perfect? No. It's 80%. At best, maybe it's only 60, 50%. Dude. Maybe only 50%, right?
Right.
But yet still, the company had the biggest month they've ever had in their company's history.
Right.
And then I use the whole look. Black Friday sets the stage for the next 6 months. If we can be doing what Black Friday did, then the next Black Friday is going to double us, right? And it's that whole concept of helping people understand that, yes, there's always more that can be done. And your assumptions that we could be doing more are absolutely correct. Mm-hmm. But do we have the resources and availability to do that today? No.
So, and accept that it's okay that we're minimum viable.
Right.
Right. Or that we cover 80% and there's a gap. That's
or 50%.
Or 50%, however much the gap is.
Right? Here's the thing. If you've been doing nothing, 50% is amazing.
Yeah.
That's the scenario I was in. We were absolutely doing nothing. So I did like 30% and had the best month I've ever had. So then, you know, folks are like, well, we could have been doing more. Well, right. That's the baseline that we've built. Absolutely. We're going to do more next time.
And that's okay because now you see that if you do a little bit, a lot can happen.
Right.
Right. And now you see that, okay, here's the great thing about this. And I love what you're saying because it fits so much into our own philosophy of how we do things that next year or the next time we run something that what we did is going to be easy. Yes. Now we look on what's the next thing that we can do better and what can we do better and how do we get better each time? The challenge is, and this comes down to acceptance and understanding because you can communicate till you're freaking blue in the face and somebody still won't accept it. Right. How do you get people to buy in? And at least if they disagree to accept, I think that's the quality of a leadership.
And I think part of that is helping them understand the intent and the why.
Yeah.
Right. And sharing the why. And, you know, there's lots of people that talk about, you know, sharing that and the why, but understanding the reasoning sometimes does help people accept it, even if they don't agree with it. Right.
Well, and I think I use this study a lot, but I think it says a lot about validation and people feeling like there's progress made. Just acknowledging, like, you know, Dan Ariely did a study where he had two control groups. One control group got their work thrown in the trash. One control group just got a head nod, and the head nod group worked three times longer than the group that got their work thrown in the trash. So even just acknowledging that I hear your way of doing that and I see how that could win. I'm ultimately the one that has to make the decision here. So I'm going to go with this way. Thank you for contributing. And then maybe that helps bring some acceptance.
Well, and so I looked up the definition of acceptance and agreement, right? And acceptance from a psychology standpoint is defined as a person's assent to the reality of a situation. If you think about that from a level of self-awareness, what you just, you know, or personal relationship, you talk about acknowledgement. For self-awareness, to recognize that there is a weakness or that there's something that needs to change, it starts with accepting that there's something that needs to change or acknowledging that there's something that needs to change. And so whether that's situational awareness about a situation, self-awareness about yourself, or about a decision that needs to be made, right? I think it can be a very healthy thing. Now, look at the contrast of how agreement is defined, which is having the same opinions or beliefs, or you need to take a completely different definition of like an actual negotiated legal document, right, as an agreement. But it's interesting.
Well, and even in a negotiated legal document, consensus is made, right? For agreement to truly occur, you have to consent. Both parties need to consent to what they agree on, mm-hmm. right? Which doesn't mean that you got everything you wanted.
It means
that you've agreed to this.
To a mutual understanding.
course of action.
Yeah, even within a contractual agreement, there's some acceptance at play.
Yeah.
I don't know that
there's a level. Yeah, there's not 100% maybe agreement, but there's some level of both.
Dude, there's not 100% level agreement in between my wife and I. I mean, how can I expect? And that's the closest relationship that I have. How can I expect as a leader to have agreement across the board on a team? You can't.
Yeah.
So what you can do is you can look for what's the best course of action. What direction are we going to take? And can we all get on board? In other words, can we all accept?
And framing it that way for people so they know you're not trying to convince them to agree. You want to listen to their input, but you do need their support.
Yeah.
Right. And just starting a conversation that way, like to me, would be so different.
Yes.
Than how typically it plays out. We're just all fighting for agreement.
Well, and the interest, and there's some little tools that you can do. And I think that there's some things that you can accomplish as a leader, and these are psychological mind games that I think leaders need to be aware of in order to make decisions like these. And so, for example, our initial promo for Black Friday was off the deep end, dude. It was more than I wanted to do, but I went deep with it. It was like huge discount, something never done before, because I wanted to test price, right? Well, an individual came back in the team and he's like, dude, that's too much. He's like, how's that going to affect commissions and structure and all this and everything that's going on? He's like, what if we just do 30%? And I was like, cool. If you take a little bit from somebody, you win there, right? Mm. I was comfortable with 30%. I was also comfortable with 50 because I just wanted to see what would happen. But we went to 30, or it was like 48. We went to 30. And the acknowledgement is like, I really appreciate that. And then you followed up with, look, dude, we listened to you. We heard you. We appreciated that. That's why we made the change. It was your suggestion to make that change. And now you just won. Hopefully you just won somebody over, or you're building that relationship of trust.
There you go. I was going to say trust. Yeah.
Which is the most important part of gaining acceptance in the future, is building trust.
Yeah. Yeah. Foundation of trust and respect makes it easier to accept a decision, even when you don't necessarily agree with the decision.
But you can't get acceptance without trust.
So let's flip this around a little bit. We got a little bit of time. So we've been talking about, as a leader, trying to get acceptance from your team. Typically there's a hierarchy or a chain of command, and right. What about as a leader trying to get acceptance from maybe a hierarchy or a team above you? Right. How is that different? Is it? Because sometimes they're the ones making the final call and you're not.
Well, ultimately, if they're above you, I think most of the time they're making the final call.
Right.
Right. So like, I'm just thinking about the scenario that I'm in. I mean, who I report to, and who, you know, I report to the CEO, he's ultimately responsible for net operating income, but I'm charged with top line growth and balancing that. So while I want to push some things, you know, it naturally puts us at odds. So there's a dance that happens, you know, to get acceptance. We actually don't, we agree on a lot more than, you know, I'm pretty lucky. We do agree on most things, but, that's a good question. And I'm just kind of processing it out loud. Yeah. I don't know. I think you bring as much information as you can, and then you have to enter the conversation understanding that it's not ultimately not your decision. Hmm. That's, you know, my wife used to say to me all the time, you don't own the company. Why do you care? And I would be like, you should be doing this, you know? And the thing, like, I love working with you so much. It's like, you just were like, yeah, whatever you need to do. You know, we never really had those.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and part of that is because I acknowledge that the secret of success is to find people who are better than you and then convince them you're worth it.
Sure.
Right. And the only way, and again, this goes back to the leader, but the only way to convince them you're worth it is to freaking listen to them.
Sure.
And to acknowledge the, what they brought, why you hired them and what they brought to the table.
Yeah.
And that right there is, dude, my ideas aren't always perfect.
Yeah.
And acknowledge that as a leader, you're not freaking perfect. You don't have all the answers. And the moment you think you do is the moment you're going to stop growing as an individual. Right. I love that. I love the story of Socrates, where this rich young man comes up to him and he's all like, teach me all that you know. Right. And Socrates looks at him and he walks out of his school and he starts walking down to the lake. And the dude's like, and he turns around, and he beckons him to come. So the guy comes out there and Socrates wades right into the water. And he beckons the dude to come. And he's like, this dude's weird. And he looks up at the sky and he's like, you see that bird up there? And when the dude looks up, he takes his hands and he shoves him underneath the water and he holds him under the water until the dude almost passes out. And when he lets go of him, the guy comes out of the water gasping for air. He's pissed. And Socrates looks at him and he says, when you desire to learn as much as you desire to breathe, then will you obtain knowledge.
That's what that's from. Man, I've seen that in so many different viral videos. Yeah. Positioned in a different way. Eric, never mind. Yeah, that's
but,
awesome.
But
yeah,
you know what that. I mean? And it's the idea of when you get to the point where you're so full of yourself that you don't think you have anything else to learn, that's when you stop growing as an individual. And leaders have there's this ego of pride or what that gets in the way. And you look at, that's why I love extreme ownership so much as a book and as a business philosophy, is because it check your ego. Mm. Right. And acknowledge the fact that, yeah, you have great ideas but other people do too. And growth comes when you execute those ideas and you're comfortable with the mistakes.
Yeah.
So here's one that just came to me as you're telling that story, not 100% related, but one, something that helped me when there were decisions you made that I didn't agree with or that someone else made is, and we've said this before on the pod, and I'm sure we'll say it again, but is the concept principle of truth experienced is more impactful than truth told.
I dropped that like 5 times this week.
Yeah. I can have in my head that there's this truth and this is the best way to do something. And I'm trying to convince you of that. And we're trying to get to agreement. But if ultimately you make a decision that's not that, then I have to trust that through that experience, we're going to learn what's best.
Yep.
And that's helped me in so many ways, accept decisions that maybe I wouldn't have made and just know, okay, this is a learning opportunity. Ryan could be right. And this could be the best way. I could be right. It doesn't matter who's right. It matters that we're learning and we're growing and that a decision was made and we're moving forward.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think if you're in a situation where you have a leader and you don't agree, yes, please share your opinion and share your beliefs and your disagreement. But if they make a decision, be okay with it and let that be an experience for learning. And not to say he said, she said, or not right. to say I was right or you were right,
right.
but to say like, we're going to experience this together and I'm going to accept and support it.
Yeah. Well, a great leader will come back and say, and they'll reconsider what you said.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And here's the key. As an individual, if you're on the team and that decision was made, the best thing you can do is to check your ego and get behind it and support it 100%.
Yeah.
For your own personal growth, for your own career, for your work home balance, because the moment you give it more time in your head as, oh, I don't agree with this word. Now you're just giving energy to a situation that you can't control. Mm-hmm. The best thing you can do is to move forward with one voice and champion that to the rest of the team. Because what happens is all of a sudden this, your leader that you're going up the chain of command here turns around and knows that one, you disagreed with him because conflict is healthy. Voice your opinion. Don't just be a freaking carpet. Voice your opinion. and express your concerns and then leave it alone.
Yeah. The most credible thing you can do actually, I think, is disagree respectfully, but still support. So accept and still support.
Yeah.
You build trust in buckets in those moments. And then the next time it comes around, your opinion and your voice is heard more than it would have been.
Yeah.
And
But if you're the guy that only gets mad and frustrated and upset and only is negative and only has contradictory ideas but never supports,
right,
dude, you're not gonna be around long.
No. No.
And you're not gonna grow.
No.
And you're giving too much energy to things you can't control.
Yeah, I've been there. You guys are from me. Nobody listens to me. I was deep in that. Totally deep in that. And not growing.
Yeah.
So
good. So when faced with the opportunity to accept or agree, if you don't agree and it's not so incongruent with your core, accept it, support it. And if it is so incongruent, then move on to different opportunity, different company, different relationship, different whatever it is.
Yeah. I think people get so stuck because they're comfortable in the current situation, even though they might be miserable, that they have a hard time stepping back and saying, this is not the opportunity that I thought it was. I need to move on.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've got family commitments. They've got like, it's hard, guys. It's hard to move on. It's hard to take that
step. Near a marriage with three kids and
it's hard. It's
not, yeah, totally.
It is really hard. But the most freeing thing you can do is, for yourself personally, in your own mind, if you can't get over that, the most freeing thing you can do is look for the next opportunity, because there's a lot out there and those opportunities come. And I think I've seen people make changes in their lives where like that, where they are so much more happy because the opportunity is a better fit moving forward. The one thing you got to check is if you're constantly that guy that is like,
yes,
you've got to check yourself. And try, just try the next time this comes up and somebody above you makes a decision that you don't agree with, just get on board and support it 100% as best you can and see the difference. Because I guarantee you, your work-life balance will become a lot easier. You won't have that baggage that you're carrying with you because you don't agree. Mm-hmm. And it's easier to get on board than it is to disagree. And that, I'm not saying you need to be a freaking mat that somebody walks all over, but in your environment, whatever environment that is, take the opportunity to step back and say, what if I just agreed? What if I just accepted and supported? What would happen? And you're right, Dave. The next time that comes up, you have buckets of trust in that environment. Buckets of trust.
Yeah.
It's a choice. You have a choice. Here's the crazy thing people don't understand is you can choose to agree and accept, or you can choose to disagree and not support. It's your own freaking personal choice.
And you can choose to disagree and accept at the same time.
Right.
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 You can disagree, accept, and support all at the same time. You can disagree, not choose to accept, and not support.
Right.
Yeah, you guys have said something pretty powerful, and it's around, and I know we're probably wrapping up, but it's around, you know, some folks feel like if they're not following through on their way, they're being a hypocrite. And, you know, I think I would just tell those people, as long as you have said your piece, that is the most credible thing. That is the least hypocritical thing you could do.
Yeah.
Is to speak your truth out loud and do it in a way that contributes to the overall mission. And if it's not agreed upon to go your way, support, and then you'll get the opportunity next time. And then, like, as you guys are saying, there's plenty out there. Sometimes if you're really truly unhappy in your scenario, just start interviewing. You'll instantly feel better, I promise.
Yeah.
But I also promise you, it's not going to be any better wherever you go.
The grass isn't always green.
Dude, I was a line jumper. I know exactly how this goes. You might as well just try to make it work where you are, as long as it's not compromising your values in some way.
Especially if you like the people you're working
with. Yeah, right.
Right. Because that's, I mean, anyways, I think that it's interesting, but I think choice is a big part of this.
Yeah.
Is if you're the one who's somebody over you and they're making decisions.
Yeah, focus on what you can control. And that's your choice.
Yeah, you've got a choice. It's your own personal decision and the choice that you need to make.